Hello, and welcome to another episode of Film Favorites. My name is Bryce Vales, and with me as always is my good friend, Aaron Chase.
Hey, Bryce.
Hello, Aaron. Well, Aaron, it's another day, another episode of Film Favorites, where we're counting down my top 500 favorite films of all time. How great is that?
It's super great, Bryce.
It's pretty great.
This is a really smart decision we made.
Wasn't it? Wasn't it? We're so far into it.
Yeah.
And there's still so much more.
It's weird. We are far enough in to where I'm like, well, we have to finish this at this point.
Really? We're not even 50 movies in.
I know. But I've watched enough of these and we've done enough of these where I'm like, we have to finish.
We've watched like 10.
Yeah. That's a lot of movies.
I mean, I guess I could watch like 10 movies a week, probably.
I believe you could. I don't have the same personality.
Fair.
Yeah.
Well, so far so good. Yeah. Okay, maybe not so far so good, but lately so good.
Yeah.
And,
I'm crossing my fingers on this episode.
You know what? We'll see about this one, but I'm looking ahead. I think you're going to be A-okay for a while.
All right.
We got some good things ahead. I think you'll like, you'll appreciate.
We're in the 460s now?
We are in the 460s. This first one is number 466.
Okay.
And that, my friend, is director Mark Forster's 2004 film, Finding Neverland. Starring Johnny Depp, Dustin Hoffman, Kate Winslet.
That's okay. I immediately thought of the documentary about Michael Jackson molesting children.
No.
What is that one? Is that also called Finding Neverland?
It might be.
Oh, okay. All right. So what? Okay.
This is about J.M. Barrie, who wrote Peter Pan.
Oh.
Johnny Depp plays J.M. Barrie. And it's telling the true story. Quote, unquote, true story. I'm sure there's...
Movies,
right?
Yeah.
From what I understand, pretty accurate. I don't know. I didn't look too much into it.
Mm.
But it follows J.M. Barrie, who's this writer, who comes into contact with these boys at this park that he frequents. And he just hits it off with them and gets to know the family. Kate Winslet plays the mother. What's his name? Freddie Highmore, who was super popular for a while. Like, this like really kind of kickstarted his career. He was Charlie in the Johnny Depp... Charlie in the Chocolate Factory.
Oh.
Bates Motel. He's in The Good Doctor. Like, you know, he's got a good young actor.
So far, his career's reasonable, and he hasn't done a bunch of drugs.
Right?
To our knowledge.
I'm proud of him. Good job, Freddie Highmore.
Yeah.
And he's good in this. But it follows him and his relationship with his family. And they are... The children are the inspiration for Peter Pan.
That would make sense.
Yeah. And it's not terribly long, but it's kind of a dry film. It's sort of a dry drama, but it's elevated for me by a few really nice imagination sequences when they're at play.
Hmm.
And, you know, and it goes... It's not like a camera watching people play. You know, it goes into their imagination and it becomes more fantastical. And it's quite nice. And Dustin Hoffman,
he's always
current, been. You know, his everything, whatever, notwithstanding.
Is there things going on with him that I should not know about?
I mean...
I don't want to know about
it. He's been playing
it
so cool. Like, a couple of years ago.
Was a thing that happened?
Yeah, the whole Me Too movement.
I don't want to know about it.
No, it's fine. You know, some inappropriate comments. What are you going to do?
He's old.
He's old, and he's played it so smart. He's like, all right, well, I'm checking out.
Yeah,
smart hasn't move. Done it. Thing.
Smart move.
He's not making creepy videos online. Whew. It's just him talking to a camera.
Yeah, Kevin Spacey's really...
We're not talking... What? No, we're talking about Dustin Hoffman.
Right, Aaron. Right. We're talking about Dustin. We should not... Yeah, okay.
but everyone's really good in this. Kate Winslet, Johnny Depp, he was nominated for an Oscar. This had 7 nominations at the Oscars. Editing, costume design, art direction, adapted screenplay... Johnny Depp for actor, and it was nominated for Best Picture.
Yes.
And it won Best Original Score.
Okay.
Some good music, and it's true. It's nice. It has a nice soundtrack. It's a good movie.
Right now, I could totally watch that. I'm pretty confident I would enjoy that.
It's nice. It's nice.
Yeah. It sounds nice. It just... nice seems like a good way to describe it from what I'm hearing.
There's some hefty drama stuff in it. But overall, it's a pleasant movie.
Okay. Yeah. I'm not adverse to watching that.
Hey.
So, right now, I guess I want to know what the other two are so that I can see which one I'm more interested in. But as of right now, that actually has quelled my concerns. If worse comes to worse, I'm going to pick this.
And I don't think you'd be terribly disappointed by
it. Oh, that's good to hear.
It's been a while since I've seen it, but I remember really liking it.
Okay.
Time to move on to number 465 from directors Mark Osborne and John Stevenson. Their 2008 film, Kung Fu Panda.
Oh, I've seen it.
Yeah.
Fuck. That's a really good movie.
Isn't it? It's fun.
Yeah.
It's really fun. Talk about good music. I really like it. Very memorable musical score. Great animation, real fun action comedy balance.
I would have never thought. I remember hearing about that movie and being like, "Well, that's gonna be dog shit."
Right. I didn't see it in theaters. I did not. Yeah. It was at some house party that I think we were probably both at, and it was playing in the background. I just saw a few glimpses, and it actually looks not bad.
Yeah. DreamWorks has this weird.
Ooh.
Yeah.
They're either like some very good films or some, like you said,
dog shit.
Or Shark Tale.
Or Shark Tale.
You get Kung Fu Panda, you get Shrek,
yeah,
or you get Shark Tale.
Yeah. I respect DreamWorks' decision to swing for the fences for every movie. They just
go for it.
Yeah, just go for
Whatever
it.
Whatever you're going to do, go for it.
Yeah.
The fat jokes wear a little thin by the end. Like, they really...
It's a movie for kids.
Pound that. Yeah, but I don't know. Like, Pixar has spoiled me. You get films that are made for... I mean, it's cliche to say, but they're made for everyone.
Yes.
They're not kids' movies. They're the classic family movies.
Mm-hmm.
Young, old, spans the gamut. You can enjoy a Pixar movie.
Yes.
9 times out of 10. DreamWorks, that's, again, part of their thing. It's a little bit more wishy-washy, a little bit more flippy-floppy.
Yeah, I would agree.
You would agree that they're flippy-floppy?
Yes. Good. That they I want to say the comparison that's always made is Disney is classical music and Pixar is jazz. And what is important about jazz are the imperfections and the sloppiness. That's kind of part of what makes jazz jazz compared to classical music.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where I'm going with this. you know what I'm saying, I think. But
I think I know what you're saying.
No, actually, I don't think... Had I not seen Kung Fu Panda... I don't think I would have picked it because...
Sure. You would assume, oh, that's going to be just a stupid animated
movie. Yeah. And they could have changed the title. That's a really stupid title.
Marketing. You know, that's going to get butts in the seats. Kung Fu Panda.
That's so goofy.
I want to say Kung Fu Panda. Kids drag their parents.
Yeah. So, I mean, I can't watch it because I've seen it. And I actually own it. So, I would say, though, that's a really good movie. And I can see... Actually, I can see why it's on your list. And I can see why it is low. Yeah.
Yeah. Another thing... a lot of these, especially animated films, have themes or like messages, morals, whatever. And this one, you know, self-acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's special. You all have your own uniqueness inside of you. It's been done to death over and over again in different films and stories in general. But it's well integrated in here. So there's some really nice elements. There's some stuff that's just kind of fine. But overall, it's a fun movie. I like it.
Same.
Nice. Well, you're not going to pick that.
No, I'm not. 460...
Four. That was 465. Next up, number 464. It's between Finding Neverland and director George Lucas's...
Oh, no.
...1971 film.
Oh, can I guess?
Go for it.
American Graffiti?
That was 73, I believe.
Oh, okay.
THX-1138.
Oh, this is actually going to be hard. Okay.
Right? Talk about,
you know,
an important classic piece of cinema.
Yeah.
This is George Lucas's feature debut as director, based on a short film he made in college. Stars Robert Duvall, Donald Pleasance... Sid Haig, classic B-movie actor Sid Haig, has a small part in it. It's a classic piece of dystopian cinema. You're giving me a face. Okay.
Yeah, I'm listening.
You're just intrigued. Okay.
Yeah. Making faces, yeah.
Making faces, thinking. It wasn't terribly well received when it first came out. Kind of got mixed reviews. But, you know, critics reevaluating it years afterwards. It's considered something of a classic. Low budget, made for less than $1 million. And even in 1971, like, that's it's something. It can be a little slow. It's low budget, but it's inventive. And it's George Lucas at his most experimental.
That has me concerned. Because I look at the prequels as incredibly experimental.
Those aren't really experimental. Those are technologically experimental. Like, how much CGI can I throw on the screen? But, like, storytelling and filmmaking-wise, it's a very those are very blasé kind of films. I would not call the prequels experimental.
Right now, I am hard-leaning to Neverland. Because that sounds, just as a film, it sounds better. It sounds more engaging. It sounds more entertaining. Probably going to have better everything. And the only reason I'm even considering
THX 1138.
Yeah. Sci-fi.
Sci-fi.
The only reason I'm even considering it is that I know it's a piece of cinema. Like, it's a classic cinema thing. Mm-hmm. But that's the only reason I'm considering it. Is there a reason I should consider this movie between Neverland and this? Or?
It depends on what you're looking to get out of it. You're going to see... You're going to have plenty of opportunities in the future to watch both classic pieces of cinema and more modern, in your words, just better movies.
Yeah, yeah. Modern is better.
Yeah, modern is better.
It's a fact.
So, you choose what you want to choose. It's okay.
Okay.
I understand.
I think because I did was it 70s last episode?
Yeah, but that was between that and a long foreign film where you have to read subtitles.
Yeah.
And you're like, ugh.
Yeah.
It's not like, all right, I won't choose Citizen Kane. Well, actually, Citizen Kane is super old. Never mind. Whatever. It doesn't matter. I don't care about my point. What are you going to pick?
I think I'm going to do Neverland. Okay. I want to enjoy myself and I want to be in a good mood. And it seems like, even though it's a drama, there's this whimsical feeling. And you just... I don't want this to become a topical podcast, but I don't need to see anything dystopian right now.
Fair.
I'm living it. So...
That's fair. I'll say this now. It's got a happy ending for a dystopian film.
Really?
Yeah.
That doesn't even make sense to me.
Well, I mean, relatively happy.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you're ever in the mood for a classic piece of dystopian sci-fi, check it out.
All right.
But that's not what we're going to watch today.
No, we're going to watch the movie where Michael Jackson molests kids.
That's it.
Okay.
All right, get ready to watch.
Michael Jackson molesting kids. All right. No, but Finding Neverland? Is that what it's called?
Mark Forrester's 2004 film, Finding Neverland. So, Aaron.
Yes, Bryce?
Tell me about Finding Neverland.
Finding Neverland is a mixture of very down-to-earth, real, early 1900s life.
Mm-hmm.
Mixed with this, or the life of, what is his name, James?
J.M. Barry James, yeah.
James, yeah. The life of James in the early 1900s and his creative process and how he came up with Peter Pan, mixed with this fantastical, whimsical surrealness, surreal vibe. And it's just his process, and you start to see, like, oh, this is how he kind of came up with those weird ideas. And the execution of the play.
Yeah.
And then his relationship with those kids.
Yes.
In particular.
I was going to bring that up. That's a big part of it.
Yeah, it's a huge part of it.
It is him and his relationship with the family.
The family, yes. Yeah. I'm going to start with my negatives because I want to end on a positive.
Sure.
Okay. My negatives are that when it is boring, it is fucking boring to me, especially early on in the film. The beginning part of the film, I was completely uninterested.
Mm.
I The only thing that was keeping it afloat was Johnny Depp.
Yes.
Friedrich Nietzsche. What is it? What's that kid?
Freddie Highmore.
Freddie Highmore, who is the, if you don't know who he is, he's the kid from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory and other things.
And many other things.
Many other things. But I think most people would record, or most people who are not film savvy would know him from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Probably. Or, you know, The Good Doctor's popular. Bates Motel was popular.
But if it, with those two performances completely lifted the film. Johnny Depp was, has always been so easy to watch, so likable and so, so charismatic. And Freddie, that kid is a, he has it. He is an actor.
Yeah, oh yeah.
He cannot do anything else. He's a fucking actor. My God.
Very natural emotions out of that kid.
I remember when it first started, the kid that played, what's his name, George?
Michael.
Michael. The kid that played Michael, I immediately was like, oh, these kids are terrible.
Oh, all of them. Liked him.
I hated him. I hated him. But as soon as the kid that played Peter came in and started talking, I was like, oh, this kid is a phenomenal actor.
He's very good. I'm going to throw in Kate Winslet as well. I thought she was very good in it. The mother.
The mother? Oh, not the mother. Mother. The I was thinking of...
Oh, not the mother of the mother.
Right.
The mother.
Right. She felt fine to me.
Okay.
Juxtaposed to his wife, I loved her. But I think it was supposed to be that way.
Yeah, we're supposed to feel pretty cold towards James's wife.
As well as the grandmother.
But only mostly. Because they're not just complete cold monsters.
No, they're nice people. They're just kind of stuffy.
Yes.
And then compared to James and Peter and those kids, they're really stuffy because he's all about imagination and being playful and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. What else did I not like about it? Pacing was a little slow, but not, you know what? I can't even say that. The pacing in the beginning was a slow burn, and then when it started picking up, when they started making the play, I was like, that was my experience throughout the movie. It was,
I think I had just a less dramatic but similar feeling towards the pacing. It is definitely slower in the beginning. But I would not call it slow.
Yeah.
I'd say it's a well-paced film. It starts out, you know, it's moving. It's not moving fast, but it's moving.
Yeah.
It's nice. It has a sort of a breezy quality to it.
Yeah.
Which suits the setting and the characters, I think. But agreed. When they really start working on the play, the whimsy is up. The pace gets a little snappier.
I think the other detriment for me, and this is really personal, is that I don't connect generally with those type of people in that era.
Mm.
I think we've talked about, like, I'm not a big fan of medieval shit. Things with kings and queens I generally am not interested in.
Luckily, that's not what this was at all.
Yeah, no, it wasn't. But it had that, like, posh...
Aristocratic, high society.
People are still wearing girdles and shit. They had stuff like that, and when like incredibly pale skin with rosy cheeks was in fashion for some reason, and big. Did they have the big puffy? They didn't have.
They did not have powdered nose.
I am mixing my eras.
You were off by several hundred years on a couple of points.
Yeah, but
during this film, like. They should be using leeches then, right?
Right.
Wait, women are allowed in plays?
Yeah. I'm messing up my history really bad.
Anything like pre-1970, it's all the same.
Yeah, basically. No, but the stuffy aristocrat, I generally don't engage with well because I don't relate to it at all. But as the film went on, and I was specifically when I was getting James's perspective... I was like, oh, I can connect to him, and so all of the other stuff that's annoying me is fine because I'm seeing it through his eyes, mm-hmm. and he's also annoyed by it. So, not annoyed by it, but he doesn't connect with it either.
Right.
So, yeah, and then in terms of the positive, like Johnny Depp and Freddie killed it.
Yeah.
Kate Winslet is fine to me.
All right.
She's fine.
I wouldn't say that she killed it like they did, but I quite liked her.
Yeah, she's fine. She's good. She, yeah. I really, really enjoyed the realization of how strange Peter Pan actually is.
Yeah, they're constantly pointing it out, all the people working on the production.
Yeah.
Like, what is this?
Yeah. Like, when you watch play, when you think of Peter Pan now, it's Peter Pan. It's so ingrained in the zeitgeist that it just is. Peter Pan and Tinkerbell and the clock, all that stuff is just normal. But when you think about it in the context of this is the first time anyone's heard about it, and it's just now being put together, it must have been like the Marvel Cinematic Universe trying to describe. I know that sounds strange, but trying to describe something like that in like the year 2000. Like, imagine trying to explain, like, all right, so here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna have a 10-year long epic of all of these different movies, and they're all gonna intertwine. You'd be like, that's not possible. But does that make... You're looking at me like I'm crazy.
Yeah, I just completely disagree. That's all.
Oh, okay. I'd like to hear your disagreement, sir. Is there a better example I could give?
I'm sure there is. I can't think of one off the top of my head. It's just, like, the example you gave is... all these interconnected films. Like, that's weird, but not like...
Not in the same type of weird.
It's a different kind of weird. The weirdness that comes from people's reactions to Peter Pan in the day, back in 1903.
It's like Eraserhead weird. Like
that, I guess that would be a better example. It's just like the individual elements at play are all strange, and combining them together is strange. Fairies and pirates and Indians and
flying
and shadows that come alive. And
yeah, you know what?
Crocodiles with clocks in them. It's a little different than we're going to have some interconnected movies.
I retract my comparison. Yeah, Eraserhead would probably actually be a better the. When it's funny, like, I get it. I think you can get it. I get it on an artistic level, what was going on in James's head of, like, just try, like, this makes sense. You just have to let me make it happen. I think you've had that with making films. I've had that with writing comedy, where in your head, it makes sense. And you don't know how to word it to people. And when you try, it's like when you wake up from a dream, and you try to describe a dream, and you're like, all right, and then it was my principal, but my principal was my mom, and there was a giant sea creature, but it was on top of a table. Like, it just doesn't...
Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, I get it.
And so seeing people's reaction to them, like, seeing these very professional, respected actors put on dog furry suits...
And I love that they're going along with it. Like, they're obviously concerned and a little confused and like, I don't know about this. But they go along with it. The producer we were talking about.
Yes.
How
Dustin Hoffman. Reluctant producer.
Reluctant producer. But again, like, the actors is going along with it. Like, I think this is stupid. Yeah. I don't know how this is going to work. I'm putting so much money into this. What am I doing? We're all crazy. But it goes along with what the artist is wanting to do. And we were talking about that. Like, why can't producers just... sometimes acquiesce to the artists. And I get it, especially with films. You know, it's a business.
Mm-hmm.
Films, generally speaking, have to make money. They have to be marketable. You can only go so out there. But, like, I really like his producer role in this. You know, he is so concerned.
Understandable.
Very understandably.
Yeah.
This was weird.
It's super weird.
But it was a gamble that paid off.
Yes.
Trust the artist.
Yes, and I also liked that there's a point in the very beginning, spoilers, in the very beginning, the first play that he puts on, seeing the audience, just a bunch of old people that are bored, was like, yeah, that makes sense. And then when they put on the play of Peter Pan and they saved seats for children, and I know, all jokes aside, I knew that they were going to do that. This movie is obvious. Mm-hmm. It's weird. It's like, as soon as it starts, I'm like, oh, I know what's going to happen.
Sure.
But I'm along for the ride for some reason. I don't, the execution of it is good enough.
I there are a lot of movies like that where the films in and of themselves are not surprising.
Yeah.
Like, everything that happens, I'm like, yeah, of course, that's what happens. Oftentimes, I'm looking for a film that just executes those ideas well. And I feel like this film executed... what it wanted to do rather well.
It did a good job of making me forget the very clear and obvious tropes that I will experience later.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as soon as the mom started coughing
yeah.
for no reason, I was like, oh, she's gonna die.
That's the first thing you said.
Yeah.
It's like the second scene where she coughs. You're like, oh, she's dead.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. When, I want to say, did was there a scene beforehand where she coughed?
A little bit, when he's first driving up to the...
Oh, she's coughing a little bit?
As she's putting up the laundry.
Yeah, like, that was subtle enough. And then as soon as it did it again, I was like, she's going. She's... If you watch movies, there's no reason for her
to cough. Why is she coughing? She's dead. Yeah. That's why.
So... But it did a good job at making me not want her to die.
Yeah.
And... Not being surprised when it happened, but just like, just accept. I don't know. It just did a good job at hooking me, which was nice.
It was emotionally successful on most fronts.
Yes.
Several points in the film, you get a little misty-eyed.
Oh yeah, there's the points that I loved the most. If it confused me, at first. When they were switching from the real to the fantastic, when they were like jumping back and forth, I was like, "What the f-?" Like it was very strange. And then when I realized that's what they were doing, and it started happening again, I was able to enjoy it. And every time they switch into the fantasy mode, I loved it. It was great. Then they would go back to this, and I know that the juxtaposition of that, like starting boring and stuffy. Boring and stuffy and very, very grounded, and it has this poshness to it, and then switching to fantastical and weird, and the cinematography completely changes.
It's much more dynamic, yeah.
Yeah, it's like that juxtaposition worked really well. I think I could have used a little more pizzazz with the stuffiness. Mm-hmm. A little more something, I don't know.
I was hooked in by the stuffiness. Like, it's not nearly as interesting, mm-hmm. admittedly, as the imagination sequences and the play sequences. But I found the performances, by and large, to be engaging and well done. And I was drawn in by the performances.
Mm-hmm.
All around, including the other boys that are not Freddie Highmore.
mm-hmm.
But so I was engaged by the characters and the story. So I never found it boring. But... One detail I just noticed watching it again with you is that sequence where they're playing Cowboys and Indians.
Yeah.
When Peter's just like not having it after James...
Fight, they fight.
Yeah, well, they fight, but James makes a comment about like, I will take you as my son. He's playing this character.
Yeah.
And then he gets weirded out by that because his father had passed away before.
Oh, shit, I didn't even...
Oh, yeah, so he gets just kind of frazzled by that and is like, I'm done playing. And they're cutting back, they're intercutting like his brother's like still playing, and whenever they cut to him, it's out of the fantasy world.
Yeah.
And it's just like cutting back and forth, and it's really quite seamless.
Yes,
it was really well done.
Yes. At first it was confusing me, and then when it did it enough, I was like, oh, well, I get it.
Like, they're all still playing, and he is not playing.
Right.
So he is out of the imaginary world.
I would say this whole movie has this interesting balance of boring adult... No.
You can use a different word.
But I mean it as a compliment. But Here's what I mean. Okay. This is going to sound so strange, but if I'm Peter Pan watching this movie, watching the parts about in the adult world, I would be like, this is boring. And then watching the fantasy stuff, I'd be like, that's it.
Yeah, because Peter Pan's a fucking child.
Exactly. Aaron. Well, technically, he's like thousands of years old.
Oh, right? Yeah.
But it's good. Like, because they stuck the landing, I had a good taste in my mouth by the end.
Mm-hmm.
I could rewatch it knowing, like, okay, they're going to stick the landing. I'm okay with this.
You're not worried by, like, oh.
Yeah. In the beginning, I was like, what the fuck is this? Like, this is not Peter Pan. And then as time went on, I was like, oh, okay, this is the progression into Peter Pan land and what it is.
It's called Neverland.
Neverland, whatever. You know? But that it was... It needed to, and I won't use boring, it needed to be grounded so that it could be juxtaposed with the surreal. Mm-hmm. And so, ultimately, I like that they did what they did. I could have used more pizzazz, but I like that they did what they did because it serviced the story and the themes and the feeling very well. As soon as that whimsical score comes up, I'm like, oh, we're back in, we're having fun now again.
It's a great score. We commented on it a couple times
during
the movie. It's a very nice, lovely score.
I could go to sleep to that and feel nice and have good dreams.
Very pleasant.
So
overall, you didn't like it?
No, fuck, what? Oh, is that what you took out of this?
No.
Oh, okay. Sorry, game off, game on. Which one are we doing?
I don't know what game we're playing.
Okay.
I just lost the game.
I lost the game.
So you like Finding Neverland?
I didn't like it in the beginning, and then it won me over, and then it stuck the landing. If it hadn't stuck the landing, I would have really been upset.
Yeah.
But it did, I think. I would say overall I enjoyed it. I have no intention to watch it again anytime soon. But if someone randomly was like, let's watch Finding Neverland.
Finding Neverland.
Let's watch Finding Neverland. I'd be like, yeah, okay. Sure. And for any, in terms of suggesting it to people, I would suggest it. I would say, be patient. Mm-hmm. Just take it in. Especially from the beginning, like, be patient. It is okay. It'll work its way into what it needs to do. Just let it be what it needs to be.
And I'd say if you like movies, you don't even have to be patient. It's just good from the beginning.
Yeah, well, whatever. It's weird. I don't think this is going to be one of those movies that if we do a recap or something near the end, I will probably have forgotten about this movie. Mm-hmm. But if you bring it up, I will probably remember it fondly and be like, Oh, yeah. That's kind of how I feel about it. I think it was good. I would suggest it for people. And if you want, I wouldn't describe it as feel good.
Nor is it terribly dour.
It is hopeful.
Yeah.
There's a hopeful ending.
It's a very bittersweet,
yeah.
but the sweetness comes through.
Yes. Yeah, I would suggest it.
All right, so you understand its placement on my list. Like, you approve.
I get it. This is one of those movies where I was like, yep, it should be right here. It is what it is.
All right. Well, I'm glad you liked it, Aaron. Hopefully, we've been doing good.
I'm waiting. I know I'm going to have to watch a 4-hour epic in Russian or something soon, I'm sure. Oh, no. No. No!
Not soon.
Oh my god.
And it's only just over 3.
Fuck off. Oh my god.
I would not call it epic.
In Russian?
Tune in to the next episode, everybody. This has been Film Favorites. Until next time, Aaron.
Till next time, Bryce.
This has been a Buddy System presentation of Film Favorites.